welcome to Speaking with Joy, a podcast about books, beauty, and music. So make yourself a cup of tea, sit down, and let's begin. Hello, all, and welcome back to Speaking, or as it is this summer, Reading with Joy. I am talking to you from my lovely and homey childhood room in Colorado. Last week was an eventful week. I finished up a chapter and sent it to my advisor. I finished all the edits for our new book, Girls Club, which I can't wait to tell all of you about. And I went on a million-hour train ride and a million-hour plane ride and finally made it back to my beautiful mountains. So for the last week, I have hardly been able to make myself sit down and do a podcast because I have been enjoying the loveliness of this Colorado summer. It is rather burning up here, and of course in Colorado, nobody has air conditioner. So we have been enjoying lots of cooling down things, but to truth be told, I've actually been enjoying the heat a bit because it's always so cold in St. Andrews. Even when it gets warm, it never totally gets warm, although I'm told I missed a bit of good weather. So anyway, I've been back and enjoying a lovely vacation and getting to see my lovely Darcy dog and my mom, and got to hang out with some friends this weekend. And I'm finally coming back to do the book club with you all on Great Divorce. And I'm hoping to be a little bit more consistent over the next couple of weeks. So thank you all for bearing with me. Now, this week we're going to be looking at, I believe it's chapter 8, but hold on, let me look in my notes. I know which chapter we're looking at, but I couldn't remember the number. Yes, we'll be looking at chapter 8, and I'm hoping that, like, in a few days, I'll go ahead and release chapter 9, and I might start doing, like, two chapters a week, but I will release them each individually as their own chapter. So we can pull through this, and then once the summer comes to an end and we finish this book club, I already have lots of exciting episodes coming up for the fall, ideas I've been munching on, people I've been wanting to interview, so that'll be a lot of fun. So let's talk about this week's chapter. Now, last week we looked at two chapters. We talked about the bold hat man, and then the hardened, what's his name? The ghost who kind of thinks everyone's, it's all a great conspiracy, and how one of them saw the value in heaven but thought that he could earn it, and the other one knew he couldn't earn it but could not see the value or the beauty of heaven. So we come to another ghost this week, and at this point, our narrator is becoming a bit concerned that no one will ever be able to actually stay in this heavenly country after having talked to the hard-bitten ghost. After having talked to the hard-bitten ghost, he's concerned that maybe these heavenly creatures, these spirits, don't really want to help them, but they're all just playing a trick on all of these ghosts who've come from hell, and this is really concerning to him. And this comes into this new thing where he sees this new ghost, and he describes this ghost kind of hobbling along a clearing as quickly as possible and looking as if it's being chased, and that it's approached by a spirit. And I'll read you this bit of the passage before we start talking about what meaning it might have. So it says, "A moment later, I heard the sound of feet, and one of the bright people came in sight. One always noticed that sounds there, for we ghosts made no sounds when we walked. "Go away," squealed the ghost. "Go away. Can't you see I want to be alone?" "But you need help," said the solid one. "If you have the least trace of decent feeling left, you'll keep away. I don't want help. I want to be left alone. Do go away. I can't walk fast enough to those horrible spikes to get away from you. It's abominable of you to take advantage." "Oh, that," said the spirit, "that'll come right soon. But you're right in going the wrong direction. It's back there to the mountains that you need to go. You can lean on me all the way. I can't absolutely carry you, but you need have almost no weight in your own feet, and it will hurt less with every step." I'm not afraid of being hurt, you know that." "Then what is the matter? Can't you understand anything? Do you really suppose I'm going out there among all those people like this?" So I think that little bit of dialogue gets what we need to know to talk about for this week's episode. And I hope you'll excuse my very silly, I feel like I was doing Moaning Myrtle maybe for that ghost. And so what's happening here? We see that there's one of these ghosts from hell is trying to get away. And the reason she's trying to get away is because she's embarrassed. There's a sense of like, that she's in this beautiful place and she doesn't want to be seen, being weak and being not complete as these solid people are. And it's interesting because I love how clearly he sets this up. He says, the ghost says, "I'm not afraid of being hurt. You know that." And so we see that whatever she's afraid of, it's not about the pain or even the death of heaven that might come. You know, last time we had the hard-bitten ghost was afraid of the waterfall because it might put an end to him. She's not afraid of that. She's afraid of being seen. And this ghost is saying, well, don't worry about that. I'll help you along the way. You just have to lean on me. And so this is the tension this ghost has. Is she doesn't want to be seen as being weak and incomplete. And so she would rather run away than be seen as weak and incomplete. And my thoughts for this week on this one are really rather personal and kind of spiritual in my own life. And I think it's so interesting that we have here depicted this ghost who her main tension is just that she does not want to be seen, and she doesn't want to be seen as weak. And I think this is such an interesting thing because I think that as humans, all of us have this bipartite desire. On the one hand, we desire more than anything to be loved and known and seen. And on the other hand, we're afraid that if we really were seen, that we would be rejected, that we wouldn't be accepted. And that seems like there's kind of this issue with this ghost. Obviously, she has enough desire to be seen and to be real that she's come to heaven. But then pulling against that is that fear of being seen and ultimately rejected. There's this wonderful quote by Tim Keller where he says, to be loved but not known is pleasant. This isn't the exact quote, but is pleasant, but ultimately unsatisfying. To be known and not loved is the worst devastation. But to be loved and known is perhaps the closest thing to heaven. And I feel like that is the tension for this ghost, is that she wants to be in heaven, but she's afraid of being known because she's afraid that ultimately she might be rejected. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's not that she's afraid she might be rejected. It might be that she holds on to her own sense of the ability to be enough. And you see that being something that comes back over and over again, is this insistence that the ghosts want to be able to be enough for heaven, that they want to be able to do it on their own terms and in their own strength. And she is told that to enter heaven, she has to enter it leaning on her friends, and she has to enter into it allowing herself to be seen. And this is a tension that I've thought about in my own life, because so often, even in very practical ways, to heal from things, whether that's things in our life, whether that's you know, even just medically, like let's say that I have a sickness, whatever that sickness may be, to be healed of it, I have to allow myself to be seen by a doctor. If I don't, it will go on indefinitely. And sometimes a sickness won't kill me, but it might just make my life inconvenient. But sometimes if you refuse over and over again to be seen, it could lead to a deadly sickness. On the other hand, even emotionally, if you've done any difficult healing emotionally in your life, you know that one of the biggest parts is just having to open yourself to somebody else to see all the pain and the difficulties inside of you. And I was thinking about this last year. I had been struggling with something that I hadn't really talked to anyone about, and I opened up to my mom about it. My mom's one of my best friends, and she was so gracious and kind, and she said, "Oh, Joy, well, thank you for telling me about that, and I'm so sorry to hear, you know, you've been struggling with that." And it was funny because I had these two reactions. The first was a great relief to have been seen, to not let whatever was hurting inside of me go unacknowledged by myself or by others. And then I had this strong and overwhelming desire to say, oh, it's really not that big of a deal, and I don't struggle with it that much, and to do everything I could to hide it and pretend like what I just shared, you know, wasn't there, whether it was to minimize it or to say, oh, maybe I'm just making that up, I don't know. And I think that that is the tension we're seeing with this ghost is, and you see that in this chapter, I don't think it's clear as to whether or not she stays or goes. And there's this sense of her going, could I really be hardened if I went in further into heaven, if I leaned on you? That's ultimately the choice that she's being offered, is to allow herself to be seen and know that she will be accepted and loved in that, and then to be helped towards heaven. And that requires a humility, and also a trust that she will not be rejected in being seen. And humility in that we, none of us, can be healed or be brought into heaven of our own accord. And I think that's a really helpful thing to think about just practically in our own lives, is do we run away from being seen And does that keep us from healing, whether that is physically or emotionally, or even like I've thought a lot about doing a PhD, it stretches me to these places that I didn't even know that I couldn't access. And if you don't open up yourself and you don't say, there are areas that I don't know how to do things in, then people won't be able to actually teach you how to do those things. So much of life is learning to be vulnerable, to be seen in the things that you don't understand, things that you don't, that you can't do, the healing that you need. And so much of life, I think, is learning to allow yourself to be seen so that you can be healed, so that you can learn, and so that people can love you. And so that's what I think is really the heart of this week's chapter. And I think it ends in this kind of terrifying moment where all the unicorns come along and the ghost screams, and we think, and it even says, I couldn't tell if she ran away or towards the spirit. And I think that's intentional. It's to leave this story open-ended, to say that she has this choice before her, to either be seen, to know that she can't do everything entirely her own, that she needs the help and assistance of others, or to run away and choose isolation and, you know, in the context of the story, choose hell over being seen, and being seen possibly as weak or as unbeautiful. So I would challenge you all this week to move towards places where you allow yourself to be seen, and know that in being seen, whether that is pains you have in your heart or things that you don't know how to do, that you need help with somebody teaching you how to do them, that you'd move towards places of allowing yourself to be seen, because it's only when we are seen and helped and moved that we can really truly move towards growth. So it's so lovely to talk to you all. I will come back next week, probably actually later this week, with some more episodes, and we'll just do it. I think this is hit upon the golden point. We will do a chapter per episode, but I might do two chapters a week. So blessings to you all. I will have show notes up with all of the catching up chapters that I haven't done the show notes on yet. And I look forward to talking to you all again very soon.